This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Biden was addressing the nation, and he calls for calm when it comes to everything going on in the campuses and the universities around the country. So I feel calm. I feel good that he's gone out there and that
everything's going to matter, though, right?
Everything's going to be okay.
I mean, he's going to say, oh, yeah, you got to be peaceful and all this stuff, but they won't.
Yeah, well, I agree with his statement, and I'll read a couple of the comments that he made. And then we got a bunch of updates on the protests that are going on in the universities, but Arizona's at the epicenter of this as well, because we've seen protests at the three major universities in the state, including in rural, small town Flagstaff at Northern Arizona University, where quite a few people have been arrested, and they vow to continue on and keep doing the protests. And I know you've got some updates. Was it, excuse me, U of A or ASU, where kids,
ASU,
they're talking about suing?
Oh, they already have a lawyer involved.
Well, of course they do. Yeah. I'm sure they had it that day,
yeah,
that instant, right? So we want to update you on that. But I agree with Biden that, hey, in moments, here's his quote, in moments like this, there are, did I just say I agree with Biden?
Yeah.
Did we cross over to another universe? In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. Well, yeah, that would be him too, probably. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let's be clear. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is, Biden said in prepared remarks from the White House. Yeah, I don't remember. I agree with that, but
sure,
he didn't really follow that during the Summer of Love. Remember the Summer of Love back in 2000? I was going to say 1969 or seven or whatever the heck that was, right? No, I'm talking about the Summer of Love in 2020 when people were peacefully protesting by rioting, looting, and burning cities to the ground. Remember that? I mean, people forget this stuff. And where was he at that point saying, oh, just calm down? No, he used it for political gain.
Of course.
To get into political office, to get into power.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just.
Because if he condemned it and Trump condemned it at the time, you know, he couldn't possibly do that and agree with Trump on anything. So
they had legitimate claims out there. And so burning and looting and rioting was okay. But now, because this is so distasteful, what's going on in our university campuses, because people just cannot stand this. And it's even crossed over to people on the left and, you know, can we say moderate Democrats? Is that such a thing anymore? Your old school Kennedy Democrats that still exist. Yeah. I don't know. They're even looking at this and they're saying, hey, what the heck is going on here? So he's got to come out and say something because he realizes this is not a Summer of Love moment or Occupy Wall Street type thing that has more of an appeal to a broader audience. This is a bunch of radicalized. And we've got some proof of this, that they're radicalized.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying they're radicalized and they're saying they're getting more radicalized. So I don't know. I think it's Biden's weak leadership that we're seeing everywhere. And, you know, this kind of stuff we see in our country, but also around the world, this wasn't happening during Trump's administration.
Well, they've let them get away with stuff like that for way too long.
Yeah, like children.
I mean, it's like just like, I was just going to say with kids, you know, and they keep, you know, swiping a cookie from the cookie jar or whatever.
Next time.
And it's like, if you don't punish them, they're just going to keep doing it again and probably take two the next time until you just say, you know, no, you can't get enough and then or get any more. And then they're going to whine and complain and cry and, you know, stomp their feet. And
it is like little kids, though. Yeah, it's like when you're in line with the kids and they have the candy bars there and no, okay. You know, and the next time it's like you're resisting a little more. No, okay. And you keep giving it to them.
Yeah.
And that's what these people are, a bunch of spoiled kids.
Yeah, they've gotten away with this stuff for
adults.
Too long.
Yeah.
And these ones probably remember that, like you were talking about, the ones 4 years ago in the summer, all the protests and the rioting and the looting and all that stuff. And well, you know, nothing. I mean, yeah, stuff happened to some of those people, but overall,
they
were not condemned the way that,
they weren't treated like the January 6th people were treated.
Exactly.
How many people did we see on national TV during 2020 BLM riots that were going on that we saw clearly on TV walking out with TVs and, you know, smashing windows and stuff? Police officers were right there. I remember seeing this in LA. Nobody ever went after those people.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you had clear, you know,
so
who they were.
I mean, they remember that. They were in high school at the time. And so they're like, well, why not? We can do that. And, you know, no, nothing's going to happen to us. And nothing, well, I mean, you know, things probably they some, have been,
yeah, but not,
but overall,
not overall, yeah. No.
And, you know, a lot of these kids are tend to be like, I don't want to generalize, but spoiled, entitled, and
no, you can generalize.
I can do this, and
yeah, and I'm gonna get
no
away
one
with
can
it.
Stop me, and it. That's just the attitude that they have.
Yeah. So more on the Northern Arizona University protests and arrests. So. This was the group was Students for Justice in Palestine, and they're still going. So it was on Tuesday evening that 24 were arrested. So, mm-hmm. But then they started setting up again yesterday.
Right.
I don't know if they're still there today. They reset up, apparently, what I'm hearing, and were silently protesting, which,
right.
Okay, you can do that. And
sure.
I agree with Biden that, hey, you can protest. You can be out there, but
no
you can't
No one's telling
you
them that
yeah,
they can't.
Yeah, if you want to sit out there yeah. and say, I'm pro-Palestine, I'm pro-Hamas, I'm pro-this, I'm pro-that, I may disagree with you, but I'm here to say that's okay. You have the right to do that under the First Amendment. We don't want to get into where we disallow people from gathering and protesting. If you want to go stand in front of City Hall, I've been talking about this all week. Fine. If you want to go stand in the Golden Gate Bridge and stop traffic, we got a problem.
Right.
If you want to go break into Columbia and move in there, UCLA last night had the, excuse me, I got bad allergies, plywood. They built a plywood wall around UCLA, and they were at 2 a.m, I guess, the police finally started going in, but then they had to back off. So there's mm-hmm. a standoff that's been going on there. I don't know if they've since cleared it. But if you want to do that, no, you do not have the right to do that.
Right.
And yeah. you wouldn't have the right to do that in Palestine either.
Oh,
go over
sure,
there
yeah.
and
yeah, try
to take
over,
over
sure.
the Hamas
yeah.
authority building, right?
Yeah.
Or go over to Iran or something like that. Good luck with that. You'd probably be in a bad place right now. But anyway, the group Students for Justice in Palestine, that's the chapter in Flagstaff, 100 plus protesters, I guess, returned. Following the unrest on Tuesday night, the university put out a statement. They announced that the club's suspension, you know, they violated NEU policies. They put out a curfew, you know, so hopefully things like this doesn't happen. And then we have this one. Do you have the quote of the one guy?
Mm-hmm.
He got suspended. Did he get arrested?
Yeah, there was some that got arrested and okay. then are complaining about the conditions in the jail cell and that they didn't get their phone call in an appropriate amount of time. And, you know,
was there no video games in the,
yeah,
in the
right.
jail cell?
but one, a junior at NAU, I'm not even going to say his name because then, you know, that's what these people want.
That's a good idea. Then.
After he got released from jail on Wednesday afternoon, he says, "It has radicalized me further. I would do it again."
What does that mean? Is radicalized him further? I mean, what's the next step?
You know, I don't know.
Where do you take this from here?
It's a little scary to think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's radicalized me further. Oh, I would do it again. Okay.
And so, then another junior who's president of or vice president of the group says, "Arrests don't deter me. Police action does not deter me. I've learned from history that is what the powers that be do when you are on the right side of history."
Yeah, I don't think you're on the right side of history on this
yeah.
one, buddy. I mean,
well, they think they are.
Yeah, they think that. Well, that's what a lot of people say. And oftentimes people who are on the wrong side of history, they say
that's
that,
what they
and
say.
They're proven
yeah.
wrong. Yeah.
yeah.
In Tucson, this is I was looking at this headline from AZ Family. This caught my eye. Beyond acceptable. That's what the Tucson Police Officers Association reacts to the dropped assault charge against a protester. So cops are starting to get pissed off, quite frankly, because they're out there, and if you see them, they're getting pummeled, and they have to battle, and they have a higher level of restraint than the protesters do. They have a higher level of visibility. You know, the protester throws a pallet at someone, which we saw on live TV Monday night in L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's that person hopefully is caught and goes to jail. Could you imagine a police officer throwing a pallet on a protester?
Right.
Right. There would be a million other protesters coming out because,
yeah.
and that's what's kind of dangerous about this situation. I was saying yesterday that I don't see this developing into the Black Lives Matter type of situation or even Occupy Wall Street. I could be wrong on that. Unless something happens somewhere and it is either an officer does something, law enforcement does something that's caught on video and that perhaps could be taken out of context, Or maybe he just got pummeled with 15 rocks, and then the video cuts in and they show this officer whacking someone over the
throwing
head.
Throwing one back
right?
or something.
Yeah, or taking a, they still have the baton or whatever, you know, and clubbing the guy or girl because all kinds of situations led up to it. We don't want to see that. But then all of a sudden it's police brutality. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the position.
Well, I think they're probably,
that's what they hope for.
They want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're probably hoping that that happens.
Yeah. That's, you're probably right. So that's what we don't want to happen though. But the more clashes you have, it's kind of like what's going on in the world right now between Russia and the US and, you know, NATO and this and that. The closer and the more ships you gather in one area because everybody's on high alert, the closer the ability for an accident to happen and to take it to the to the next level, and things get totally out of control. So we'll see what happens. But these guys are pissed at the down at Tucson, Tucson Police Officers Association, because you had four people that are being charged for trespassing, and this was at a protest down there at U of A. And one of the protesters faced an aggravated assault charge. Allegedly, they kicked the police officer. So you start physically, you know, hitting police officers and stuff like that. They go after you pretty hardcore. And down in Tucson, the powers that be down there decided to drop the charges on the assault. So they're like, wait a second, we, you know, we're getting out there. We're, they're alleging we're getting kicked, which I happen to believe because you've seen how violent this stuff's gotten. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we don't even have the legal side here protecting us. So the next person comes along, maybe they don't kick, maybe they throw that pallet. You know, that we start letting people off.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Before I was saying they've gotten away with this crap for too long.
Yeah.
And it'll just keep escalating unless they crack down on it.
If they crack down on it, I we'll see if they actually do. We'll see if this peters out. Doesn't school these people like go home or something?
I mean, a lot of places. I don't know about ASU or U of A, but NAU is out next week, I think.
Okay, so I wonder what the other camp,
like May 9th or 10th, they're done.
Typically May into we're
no,
in May.
It's like early May. This
people around the country. Are, so does that peter out, or do they go home and then they're living back in mom and dad's basement again and they don't have a job maybe, and they're waiting to go back to school. And it's like, what else do I do other than, oh, it's an election year too. Let's go out and we'll do these protests, you know, in your community. Does that happen?
Well, that's what happened last time in 2020. It was the summer leading up to the election.
There's a summer of love.
Yeah.
The summer. And you got professional agitators out there. I don't see how this helps Biden though this time, because back with the BLM movement, that was all, you know, so many plants involved in that whole mess. And that helped the Democrats. I don't see this helping the Democrats. And I think that's why Biden had to come out, because you know he doesn't want to, and somebody had to write these.
Well, he can't come out against Israel, which is what they want him to do, right? I mean, they want.
And he can't not say something about these protesters,
right?
And these, you know, these people,
he's
the lawlessness.
He's kind of between a rock and a hard place right now. So
yeah, so I don't think this, if you looked at it politically, favors him at all. But who knows? They managed to turn this stuff.
Yeah.
On a dime. They're masters at that. All right. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done that already. Appreciate everybody who's done that. Got great video up with Congressman Eli Crane talking about what's going on, trying to defund these universities. So go check that as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send us an email. Love to hear from you. All right, as you know, got all new blinds, shutters, shades. Well, we didn't get all new blinds, shutters, and shades. We got new blinds,
right.
But you can get new blinds, shutters, or shades. I guess you could mix them. Has anybody done
sure.
that?
Sure, mix and
where
match.
It's like I got three windows, and they have different types of things. The eclectic look. The Blind Brothers, they do a great job, you know, giving you all the options, not just the most expensive ones. And they also do installation. And you mentioned a Jeff Horvitz show. When you call them or when you go to their website, you get half off installation. I highly recommend that. The Blind Brothers... they've been doing this for a long time, and I'm really happy with ours. They were installed correctly. Mm-hmm. They're high quality. We've got kids, so you know how kids yank on those, those cords and stuff. Although a lot of them don't have the cords now too. You know, they've gotten rid of a lot
done,
of that. We got in just before
ours
that.
Ours have cords, but some of them don't.
Yeah, or a lot of them have remotes now, too. You just hit the button. Anyway, call the Blind Brothers. Mention to Jeff Horvitz. You'll get half off installation, 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. If you're looking to refinance your home, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Kim helped us refinance an investment property just about a year and a half ago or so. She did a great job for us. She also does first-time home buyers, lots of great programs out there for that. And then she's really trying to help out people who might be in debt problems. We're talking credit card debt, and maybe you own your home for the past couple years, and you've probably got some equity built up, and you can call Kim Dawson, see if she can refinance all that together and get a hopefully lower monthly payment. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call. Get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458. Or go to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, MLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, MLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Now, an option for some of these kids. I call them kids. I'm going to stick with that now because they're acting like children. Mm-hmm. These adult children on the universities is go to Iran.
Yeah.
Right. Did you see this one?
Right. Yeah. See how it goes over there.
No. Did you see this? No. So this, I'm looking at an article from the Express. One of Iran's most prestigious universities is offering scholarships to U.S. students who have been expelled for taking part in pro-Palestinian protests. So they're offering. So you can go to, is it in Tehran? You can go over there to Iran, which is very open. I mean, the good thing about Iran is they're very open to really liberal ideas. If you're LGBTQ or plus, what are the other things? The 64 other letters and things and cyborg or whatever. If you're any of that, and you feel like you're being really oppressed here in the United States of America, and you're on the campuses of the U.S. College system, you go to Iran because they treat those folks really, really good.
Oh yeah, I mean
they're open.
They're very inclusive.
They're very accommodating. Yeah. So you can go to Iran if you're a pro-Palestinian protester that happened to get arrested recently, or maybe expelled, or your group's been kicked out, or whatever the case may be. They're saying, hey, come on over, Mohammed Mazzini, head of Shiraz University in Fars, made the offer to students demonstrating against Israel's actions in its war against Hamas in Gaza. Iranian state-owned outlets, press, TV reports. I mean, I guess they're better than like Saudi Arabia. At least women, I think women can now drive in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Iran, I think there's some
sometimes
women drivers.
Sometimes you hear that, but you don't know how, like.
It's not very socially accepted.
Yeah, or
probably.
How. Yeah. How true it is, yeah. You know, I mean, is that just maybe in like Riyadh or some, but the rest of the country is just not really.
And you don't mean that they can't drive, it's that they are actually allowing it because they couldn't drive. They can't go out alone.
Yeah, I'm just saying that,
Let's see, you could go over to Iran and there's total freedom of speech. If you get like upset at the way your government's acting, you just go out and take over one of their buildings. Actually, they're pretty good at that. They took over the U.S. Embassy and 1979. Mm-hmm. So they've got some practice in that. But since then, nobody who's been protesting their government, I think that those people just pretty much probably get shot, right?
Yeah.
And they just get disappeared. So, you know, protesters who love protesting, take up Iran on their offer
to go to school over there.
Because it's free. I mean, I know you're getting free school here, but you've got to go through the whole thing of like, oh, I got to maybe pay for this or borrow a bunch of money. And then, you know, some politician's going to forgive it later, you know, so it's a little more stressful. So Iran's actually giving the guarantee of, hey, you come over here and you're good to go.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. I mean, if you're not into religious studies here, maybe you'll pick it up over there, you know, and you can go to one of the schools there and, you know, make sure that you follow the state religion.
Teach you real well. Uh-huh.
I mean, because they have, they're real tolerant to other religions in Iran and Palestine.
They're very open.
Palestine as well. I'm sure they're very tolerant to other religions as well. So, this is great. I don't think this was well thought out by these. They didn't even think to bring like food and supplies.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, they're like, you hear all the stories of them with their demands about the food and you're just like laughing.
Can you get some water in here? And I think we get some food delivered because we do have a meal plan. So, you know, now the meal plan is delivery.
Yeah.
You know, delivery to them when they demand it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay. Let's turn to a better note here. Got a couple minutes left. You pulled up an article from SRP.
Yeah.
SRP is a big water provider and
yeah,
electric
Salt River Project.
Yeah. And they own the rights to so much water and provide a certain amount of electricity in the mm-hmm. state. They said with everything that's happened, our second great winter in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're looking good.
The reservoirs that feed the Phoenix metro area.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. That's what
that matters,
right? You know, they need their golf courses and yeah. their pools.
Yeah.
It's nearing capacity. So that's a good thing because, you know, if it's nearing capacity,
they suck
there,
less from up here.
Yeah. It's less drain on maybe the Colorado that is very in demand. So Salt River Project is more like the Verde and the Salt River and what comes out of Roosevelt Dam and all those dams. So, they're full, almost full.
Yeah, more water is
we're looking at
better all around.
93% full now, and in February it was 83%. So it's risen quite a bit with the spring thaw and everything.
Yeah, there'll be a little more because Snowball got 2.5 feet up
yeah.
there just over the weekend.
And so they're staying open.
I don't know where that goes. Yeah, they're open on the weekends through mm-hmm. through May or just a couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know when the date is, but as of now they're still open.
Yeah, it's going to get warm, so... Well, that's good news, and yeah, that's keeping that water flowing. It's just funny because I wouldn't get used to this because I've seen this many times before all the years that we've lived here, and you were born and raised in Arizona, so we've seen really good years like this. The past two have been phenomenal, but then we see 2, 3, 4 years where it gets really bad.
Not so much, yeah.
And that's when the politicians and a lot of the leftist environmentalists, they'll start coming out again saying, see, I told you it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. We're never going to get snow again. I'm like, calm down. It'll snow. Give it a year or two.
Yeah.
Right. This is just a cycle that keeps happening. So, mm-hmm. Will we have a third year in a row? I know they're talking about La Nina next year, which is a drier cycle for the Southwest. Mm-hmm. If that's setting up, I don't know.
Well, it's just good that we've had the two good years, the past two. And if it's nearing capacity now, then that's just, I mean, hopefully that'll carry through
yeah.
if next year isn't so much.
Yeah, that's true. So. I have to ask Bob Thorpe how Lower Lake Mary's doing out there because, you know, for years there was no water in that. Then
yeah.
last year it overflowed.
It was
overflowing
so much,
in the Walnut
yeah.
Canyon. And this year I haven't been out there. We went out there during duck season early on in mm-hmm. fall, mm-hmm. And there was still a lot of water out there.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's filled. Bob, if you're listening, send me a text on that one.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Hey, you know, we've owned physical gold and silver for many years, and we have been purchasing our gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange. Desert Gold Exchange, Justin, is a family-run company. They do a great job. First of all, of explaining all the options for you out there, and they deal exclusively in physical gold and silver. You can call them and ask them about the best deals going on right now. I'm particularly interested in silver right now, me personally. But there's different premiums on different coins, you know, a silver eagle versus like a buffalo coin or a coin from another country. What they do, though, is they guarantee that they're going to have the lowest commission you're going to find out there. Put them to the test. If you got a deal you're seeing somewhere else, call them up and say, hey, I found this here. What can you guys do? I think Desert Gold Exchange will be really, really happy, as Angela and I have been for many years now. Call Desert Gold Exchange. Mention a Jeff Horvitz show. They're going to treat you like gold. Plus, that you get a free investor's kit if you ask them for that. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Or go to desertgoldexchange.com. All right, two international ones here for you. Angela has one on Niger, but I got one on Turkey. This interests me because we were just there a month ago.
Yeah, a month and a half.
Yeah, so this one's fresh on my mind. But they have now cut off trade. Turkey has cut off trade with them and Israel. So basically all relations are just done, poof. Mm-hmm. This is completely dissolved. Turkey, a member of NATO, keep in mind. So this is interesting how, not that Israel is a member of NATO, but there's all these common allies there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they've cut that off. According to Zero Hedge, bilateral trade volume between the two countries, which prior to October 7th were warming up and getting better after a pretty rocky history, was $5.4 billion last year. Turkey sells $5 to $7 billion of exports to Israel every year, and Israel sells $2 to $3 billion to Turkey.
Hmm.
So, you know, Turkey looks like a loser on that one.
Yeah.
Losing a couple billion bucks there. Then in Niger, what do we got there?
1,000 troops there.
We've got 1,000 troops in Niger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back in March, they were kind of like asked to leave by the new militarized government because it kicked out the old guy last summer.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Isn't that the old Who song?
Well, no, there was a guy for a while that was like better, I think. And then last summer.
It's probably not militarized, though. Less, like, worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And and then like they got this like coup happened and a new militarized government just totally took them over. And
Africa's hopeless. It's so sad. I know. You know, with all the, you know, you've got all the resources there. You've got, they have the potential for so much to happen and go on, but it's just century after century of just misery. And I don't see it. It used to be like there were some places in Africa, and my experience in Africa is quite limited. I mean, we've been to northern part of Africa, which include like Morocco, Egypt, but we've never gone down into, and I would like to. I would like to go down and go like Kenya or Botswana, you know, go on safari down there. There was a time where I wanted to go to South Africa, and that used to be, that was the kind of the economic, still is to a degree, but they're doing so many dumb things, kind of like, what's that one, Zimbabwe, that they basically, if you were a white farmer in Zimbabwe, the land has all been reappropriated, and now they have gone from the breadbasket of Africa, producing much more food than the country needs and exporting a bunch of food within a couple decades of this, you know, kicking out the white farmers, things like that. They've gone from not having enough food and having starvation issues and you name it, and then massive inflation. And, and South Africa is kind of heading the same way. They're doing things. They're reappropriating land from white South Africans.
That's code for just straight up taking.
Yeah. And they're arguing, oh, you took the land for it. Now we're taking it back. Mm-hmm. Problem is that they don't have the technical know-how to run a lot of this stuff and to farm it. And it's, the proof is in the pudding. You're seeing the results. Look at Zimbabwe, look at other countries. So then you got a country like Niger that's had problems forever. And a lot of this dates back to, World War One. The end of World War One, and they drew the maps, and they just literally drew. Niger has the problem of they've got their Muslim country. There's a Muslim and Christian segments of the country, and they do not get along.
I want to say that, there, you know, like back in the colonizing days, the French were there, and so that's just a clash right there because.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that probably French colony. Mm-hmm. The French colonies tend to fare better though, because the French actually still have a lot of influence in Africa. I don't know Niger specifically, but there are a lot of countries where the French actually still have a lot of good relationships with African countries, and it's been a little smoother. Mm-hmm. The ones that just got it totally kind of the Band-Aid ripped off, shall we say, with the British and with the Dutch and folks like that, especially after World War II, that's been an absolute disaster. You've seen nonstop conflict basically in these areas. But okay, so but we've been there. So, we are in so many US other places.
The U.S. is there, but it's like highly contested. You know, they don't want him there. And the U.S. is like, well, no, we're trying to help you. And Biden insists that they don't want to leave. You know, they don't want to take the troops out. But Niger's saying, no, we don't want you here. And basically, they want the Russians in.
So, that's going to go
U.S.
Great.
And France got kicked out. Russians coming in.
So Russians gave him some kind of sweetheart deal.
Yeah,
something. Maybe financially. And Niger's got I can't remember, but it's got a big population. Is it? I think it's the biggest, most populated nation in Africa.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
The number 80 million, let's look that up. The number 80 million is clicking in my head. Niger, hang on. We're going to do this. I'm way wrong. 26 million.
You might be thinking Nigeria.
Maybe I'm thinking Nigeria. Yeah. Yeah,
because they have the coastline in Nigeria, so they probably have a lot more population base on the coast.
Okay, is this an oil thing? Is there a lot of oil there?
I don't know very much about it.
There's 1,000 troops. So anyway, bottom line is that they want the U.S. and then Russia's coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And I heard this, by the way, from Owen, our son, who in his sixth grade class at Flagstaff Christian School, every day they watch this thing called World Watch. And it's like a a Christian-based biblical worldview World Watch, and they have a newscast every single day. And they sit there and watch this newscast. And he actually comes home with some pretty interesting stuff. And they have to write a paragraph every day on what they learned in World Watch today. And so sometimes I see these paragraphs and I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And so I finally went there. He told me, oh, I heard that U.S. is having to leave Niger and Russia's coming in. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that. And so I went to worldwatch.com, and we have to have a subscription. So I wasn't able to read the article there or see the newscast there. But I'm actually kind of interested to maybe get one of those free trials and just check it out.
Yeah, just check out what are the kids seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just pulled up Nigeria. I'm getting Nigeria is south of Niger.
Yeah.
And Nigeria is, and I was off on even that. This was the country I was thinking, 218 million people.
Okay.
Big. I mean,
yeah, lot
I was just thinking, U.S. is what, 350, 320, something like that. And their number one export is oil. I mean,
it's
a ton of oil there. I'm not sure about Niger, but they both have their issues, obviously. Mm-hmm. But why do we have so many troops everywhere?
Well, yeah, I don't get that anyway. But, I mean, why is it our deal to go in and try and stabilize
But then the challenge is, I guess, then you get Russia coming in or China coming in.
Well, they have ISIS there.
And China has been gobbling up resources throughout Africa. They've been linking up with these governments quietly for the past 20, 30, 40 years. And there's so many resources there. And that's why we've been there for a long time. That's why the British was there. That's why the French were there. That's why the Dutch were there. And the Dutch were about the worst out there.
Right.
You know, when you look back on the history of King Leopold, was at 1800s and the chopping off of
the
hands.
The worst for like humanitarian reasons.
Yeah, they were, it was some rough stuff going on there. So anyway, okay. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send in those comments. Another one on the economic side, because those are kind of both economic there, is a Federal Reserve meeting that happened here just the other day. The Federal Reserve met and discussed Wednesday about inflation and the interest rates, because they've been toying with the idea that we're going to see lower interest rates coming up, and that's going to help us strapped country, quite frankly, people that have tons of credit card debt and, you know, consumer debt, you name it, but also the U.S. government, which is you and I, as far as all that money that's owed. This is starting to hurt. This is going to be the number one expense, I think, within a year, will be the interest on national debt. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of waiting. Hey, when are the interest rates going to go down? Because they raised the interest rates the highest, quickest, in the quickest time period, and they're at 5.3% is the Fed funds rate, right about there. So everybody's like, what you keep saying, you're going to lower these rates. They met and said, it's not going to happen.
Mm. Yeah. No it's surprise there. Yeah. And actually, you've been saying that for a while now.
Yeah. I told you that. Don't believe these people. I'm 99.99% sure you will not see interest rate cuts this year. You'll be lucky to see them next year. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you see interest rate hikes, because inflation still is a problem. And what did Jerome Powell say? He's the chair. He says, in recent months, Chair Jerome Powell said at a news conference, inflation, this is going to be one of those squirrely sentences. Mm-hmm. They have a weird way of wording things. It's almost like Yoda. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it's like backwards.
They speak like Yoda. Inflation has shown a lack of further progress towards our 2% objective. Who says that? You know,
the lack of progress. Yeah, that's what they say. Rather than saying inflation is still high, they just say, well, it's been a lack of progress toward our goal of 2.
Lack of progress. Their goal is 2% inflation, but they haven't been able to get that for a very long time. And I always thought it was 2% overall, like on the average. Mm-hmm. We'll never get to that again. You would have to have, we'd have to have like negative 10% deflation for a period of time. He went on to also say it is likely that I got to get into Yoda mind here.
Likely
I can't talk like Yoda. I would sound like a fool. Likely it is. It is likely that gaining greater confidence, he added, will take longer than previously expected.
It's just, you think?
Do you have to go to school to talk like that? Or is that just a natural thing that, you know, let's hear you talk.
They probably have a team of experts to go over these quotes.
This?
Yeah.
So translated, inflation has shown a lack of further progress toward our 2% objective. Translated, everything we've done has failed to bring down inflation. Period.
Yeah.
Right? You can't say that. And then next one, it is likely that gaining greater confidence will take longer than previously expected. Translated, we were wrong about how long it was going to take to get inflation down. See comment number one, we didn't get inflation down. And these are the same people that were saying, this is just transitory. It's just they're still stuck in the transitory phase here.
I know.
So if you've been expecting anything with that, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
That's kind of our running joke between the two of us, too. It's like he'll text me a picture of a price tag or a price on a menu or something of something, you know, that's just outrageous. And I just say, no, don't worry, it's transitory. And, you know, and we just both laugh.
I'm going to start transiting out the door sometimes when I see these prices saying, I'm just not going to pay that. Someone you can talk to about inflation and about your portfolio and maybe where things are heading. He doesn't have a crystal ball, but he certainly does pay attention to this stuff a lot closer than I do. And that's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Glenn's a fiduciary who shares your values, and I think he shares a lot of my values as well. You've heard him here on the show for years. He'll give you a complimentary portfolio review. He also do what's called a woke mitigation portfolio review, which I make sure that these woke companies aren't more concerned with their wokeness and their social credit scores versus actually returning good value on your investment. Why don't you give Glenn Least a call at 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Send Glenn an email, gleest, G-L-E-E-S-T, at WTWealthManagement.com. That's gleest at WTWealthManagement.com. All right, Jeff Orbit's here. Angela's with me as well. I guess she signed it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's not it, though. This is just the beginning.
No, it's never it.
No, this is just the beginning.
That still won't be good enough.
And what we're talking about is Governor Katie Hobbs, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, signed the legislature's repeal of the – I like what Senate for Arizona Policy, how they worded it, the pre-Roe law. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is – pretty far pre-Roe. It's 1864 that this law was first put into effect in Arizona, which is a full abortion ban.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Full abortion ban with the exception. The only exception I'm aware of is the health and safety of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So Governor Hobbs signed the thing just a couple minutes ago, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's done. So just a quick recap in case you listen once a week or something or been living under a rock. Supreme Court of Arizona reinstated. I don't even think it got reinstated yet, but it's coming up here pretty quick. Reinstated.
Yeah, I think in
very
June,
murky when this thing was
June.
Actually hitting. Yeah. Yeah. But reinstated the full abortion law in Arizona, which they, you know, the national media keeps calling the 1864 or the territorial law or the Civil War law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they paint that picture. But we have to keep in mind this thing was reaffirmed multiple times.
Right.
Into the 1970s by Democrats as well. But they're running with that. So that's the world we live in. And the legislature, the House last Wednesday voted, two Republicans flipped over, voted with all Democrats to repeal it.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, the Senate, all Democrats and two Republicans. So they're called bipartisan. Because anytime you have one, and we need to get more of a threshold as to what actually is bipartisan. I don't think one or two people flipping over.
In a body of 60.
Yeah, you can officially call bipartisan.
Yeah.
You just can't do that. So anyway, that was Senator Bollock, who is the wife of Justice Clint
Bollock,
who's one of the Supreme Court members in Arizona
who said that
who voted to reinstate it.
The 1864 law is enforceable. Basically, that was what their decision was, is that this law from 1864 is enforceable now. And
he
voted to keep that it was the law now.
Yeah.
And then she went a week later and is like voting to repeal it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Pretty strange. Imagine that dinner conversation. And I don't know. I mean, well, that's how the process is supposed to work, though. The Supreme Court or the justice system. The judicial system is supposed to interpret those laws the legislature.
Which we believe they did the right decision.
Yeah, they did the right decision based on, I mean, there's a bunch of people out there right now There's a whole campaign to remove Justice Bullock, who I think did a good job on this, as well as the three other members. It was a 4-2 decision. They interpreted the law correctly. I mean, it was real clear what it said, and that's the case is that there's an abortion ban in Arizona that was in place.
Yeah.
And that it was never repealed.
Right.
And it supersedes the 15-week abortion ban that was put in place also in 2022
right.
by the legislature and signed by Governor Ducey. So he did what was supposed to happen. Now there's a group out there pushing to not, what's the word that they use for the judges? Not retain Justice Bullock and the
and
others.
And King.
And King, right? And it's because they're the two that are up. And I don't think really have seen this in the past. And they're like, what an injustice this is. And it's like, no, this is how the system's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And
then
wherever you stand on the abortion issue, I believe the abortion ban was fine. I think now we got to get to work on getting something else in place, because they're going to go for full-term California-style abortion here in the state of Arizona, and a lot of lives are going to be lost. Wherever you stand, though, if you don't like a law, the legislature, well, they did get rid of the law and change it with the help of two Republicans. That is how the system's supposed to work,
right?
Agree or disagree with it. But these people are saying, well, the Supreme Court did something wrong. No, they interpreted the law that was in place.
I don't think that's going to work, but especially now that it's been
it's
repealed.
Gone. Yeah.
And now the law that Ducey made, the 15-week one, that's the one in place.
It will be in place. And what's the deal with that?
That goes into effect 90 days after the legislature adjourns. And the article I'm reading says that they're supposed to adjourn on May 10th. So that would mean 90 days after that, which is August 8th. And the problem there is that the Supreme Court decision one is supposed to go into effect in June. And then the 15-week one is supposed to be in August sometime. So there's going to be like a 2-month overlap there.
But a 15-week one's already in place. It was in place.
That's what, when Hobbs signed that, that's what it, it repealed the other one. And then that made the 15-week one get into play. At least that's my understanding.
Okay, this is the assuming that the legislature adjourns on, what'd you say,
May 10th.
They're not going to. They're not even close. Yeah. They're not even close on the budget yet. That could be a long way off. That could be, my guess is they'll be in there till June. Now there's a lot of people.
Well, I'm just going off what this article says.
I'm just telling you from my experience that there's no way that they're signing dying by May 10th. That's next week. Mm-hmm. They haven't even really geared up the budget negotiating process. My guess is you might see leadership extend this.
On purpose?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, because Senator Warren Peterson, who's the Senate president, and Congressman Ben Toma, who's, Representative Ben Toma, he's in the House of Representatives. He's running for Congress. I think they're both going to extend this and try to push the legislative session longer. Plus, they're not even ready on the negotiating side for the budget.
Yeah.
So, I think a more accurate kind of date is 3 months after the end of the session. I think you're looking at July, August, September. So then the 15-week ban may kick in.
September-ish.
Around election time, early ballots are going out. Mm-hmm. And then you've got coming up on the November ballot, presumably, most likely.
They have the signatures.
They have the signatures. Yeah. So it'll probably be there, but you can't, you know, count your chickens till they hatch, right? Mm-hmm. But it'll probably make it there. And then Arizona will be facing, do you vote this down, which I'd vote that thing down, and then you have a 15-week ban, or do you, you know, are there enough voters in Arizona that votes for this thing and puts in place a, you know,
late term
abortion in the state? I hope that's not where the people are at this point, but who knows? So many people have moved in here, especially from California and other places.
Yeah.
The other option that could really extend the legislative session, and I will have to talk to some people down there and see where they're at, but the discussion about putting in a heartbeat law or 6-week law and putting it to the voters. They're the only ones that can do it now. There's not enough time to get signatures, I don't think.
Right. They don't have enough time. But if the legislature put it forward,
they just put it. They don't need
signatures. Competing questions on the
two
ballot.
Two or three. They might put forward a couple.
True.
They might put forward, I've heard, a 12-week or a 14-week. I've heard also a 6-week or a heartbeat law as well.
Then
so
you'll really know where the people stand, actually.
My suggestion was put them out there and let's get the best thing we can get in place. Not this ridiculous, scary California style abortion law that's mm-hmm. out of state interest groups are trying to force on us.
Yeah.
And what shocks me even, they did this before the 1864 issue, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know this was coming, right? So they did all of this before to put the late term abortion thing on the ballot. They're out there getting signatures. Why weren't they okay with, because a lot of people, a lot of probably middle of the road Republicans and independents in the state were like, I don't like the 15-week thing, but at least we got something in the state.
Yeah, right.
And I think a lot of independents thought that too. But here this group comes out and says, that's not good enough.
It's never good enough.
And then they're forcing this late-term abortion amendment in the Constitution when we already had, there was a 15-week, which made a lot of conservatives and pro-life folks upset.
Cringe. Uh-huh.
But they at least had a little bit of like, okay, at least we've got something. So that's right. Not even, they want everything. No, they want everything all the time. Enough.
And it's, never will be. If it doesn't pass this time, they're going to come back with it next time because they got leaders like Hobbs with this quote here I'm looking at.
Yeah, you got a real gem here.
Yeah. I mean, they got people like her in their ear and...
Yeah, what's the quote? What's the quote?
She says,
"Give us this beauty." So she signs. So she signed the repeal.
Yes.
And
right.
She has to open up her mouth.
She says, "This ban needs to be repealed." I said it in 2022, when Roe was overturned, and I said it again and again and again as governor. But as
wait. Again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again. Okay.
Three times, yeah.
She should have said it one more time, maybe.
She said it three times as governor.
Well, that's
again and again and again.
That's firm.
Yeah. But as they have for 160 years, extreme politicians came up with every excuse imaginable to maintain this draconian ban. A ban that was passed by 27 men before Arizona was even a state.
Okay. The governor, I know she's got... It takes a lot of time to dust off her special award for being the only elected woman who was born in Arizona or
the
something.
Governor born here.
Yeah, I know.
Woman governor.
Yeah, she's got all kinds, like this whole shelf of things she goes and stares at, and he probably the affirmation mirror, like most of these
well,
politicians.
Well, now she's going to get the one for signing the
These politicians are
repeal.
So, they're so annoying on all sides, but she's particularly annoying. Anyway, read that one more time because I got to. Okay, forget the again and again and again. We got that. Go ahead.
But as they have for 160 years.
Okay, hang on. 160 years. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a long time. Go ahead.
Extreme politicians.
Wait. 160 years. Extreme politicians. Okay. I'm letting this all soak in. You got to understand. I'm not as smart as Katie Hobbs.
Came up with every excuse imaginable to maintain this draconian ban.
Okay, so extreme politicians for 160 years.
Well, and as you've mentioned before, back in the 70s, even the Democrats were on board with the no abortions law. So she would consider those people extreme politicians,
well,
too.
Well, don't we get to a date period where it's like it's just not extreme politics, it's just norm? You know, it's like because you're saying, so like the extreme politicians during the Civil War, the extreme politicians during the 1880s, the extreme politicians during... you remember when the plane was first spotted, you know, mm-hmm. over above, or the first automobile, the first refrigerator, World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, the Vietnam War, the 1960s. So all of that, everybody was extreme for 160 years until mm-hmm. Katie Hobbs came along.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much the sum of
even
it?
Okay. Previous Democrats even previous, who they agreed were all, with the ban.
So she's admitting that previous Democrats were extreme also.
Well, yeah.
Because they also there were Democrats.
They
that
were
used
on
to
board
this.
With
okay.
the ban of abortions.
Okay.
So they're extreme too. So
I just try to understand, you know, where they stand. And,
yeah.
You know,
so and then she has to throw in the fact that it was a ban passed by 27 men before Arizona was even a state.
Okay, perhaps. But were there all men in the 1970s? Were there all men other times? You know, I mean,
well, no.
When was the first woman elected to the legislature in Arizona territorial time or thereafter?
Yeah.
I know. So it sounds like extreme stuff from Governor Hobbs.
Well, they want is extreme stuff.
Do you think
Do
you think she has an affirmation mirror?
Have a full-term abortion is extreme.
Does she have an affirmation mirror? I bet you she does.
Well, people like her.
You're good enough. Tim, Timberline Firearms and Training, world-class training when it comes to firearms. If you're new to firearms, if you're somewhere in the middle, expert level, Timberline Firearms and Training will get you there. Plus, they have the Stop the Bleed course, which I think is really awesome. We've taken that as a family. This could help save your life, save the life of a stranger as well. Go on out to Timberline Firearms and Training. It's a good time to head to Flagstaff, by the way, because it's starting to get a little warm and crispy in certain areas of the state. So more and more people will be coming up to Flagstaff. Plus, check out their great indoor shooting range at Timberline Firearms and Training, and visit them at timberlinefirearms.us. By the way, some of you may have noticed talkwithjeff.com. I've got videos up there. We got, I've got stuff with Carrie Lake. I've got stuff with Congressman Eli Crane, Bruce Sidlinger on the Plains. I did one with Senator Wendy Rogers, a video up at talkwithjeff.com. And some of you may have noticed that there's an abortion warning on there. Did you notice?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, we put our stuff on YouTube, and I also use Rumble. I like Rumble because they're more of a free speech and not annoying and stuff like that. But the reality is YouTube's the big boy out there, or the big girl, however you want to say it, or the big, unsure. And anyway, they just have that reach. Mm-hmm. So they put warnings up there. I used to get the COVID warnings. And it's still a COVID warning. I followed the link and they're still talking about COVID, even though they put a, like, you read it. It was like putting the abortion comments in context and all this, and it had links to national sites and this and that.
Yeah, it was. I thought I read to the link, and it was just like, it really just went to kind of like a WebMD type page. I don't think it was WebMD, but it was one like that that just laid out what an abortion is and what types there are. And so it was really like an informative page.
Look,
but it's just, why do they need to put that
on
there?
Why do you need to put it? People know what an abortion is. Right. And because
anyone who's watching that on YouTube is going to know.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the link. And it says, I followed it. And it says, an abortion is a procedure to end a pregnancy. It can be done two different ways. Medication to abortion, which uses medicines to end the pregnancy. It is sometimes called a medical abortion.
Yeah.
Wow. This is deep. Or abortion with pills. Procedural abortion, a procedure to remove the pregnancy from the uterus. It is sometimes called a surgical abortion. This sounds like something. Who wrote this? Kamala Harris? Doesn't it sound like something? Yeah. Why did Russia attack Ukraine? Well, Ukraine is a small country and Russia is a big country. And Russia attacked Ukraine, and that was wrong. It's the same people writing this crap.
Yeah.
All right. So, if you get that warning, just ignore it.
Yeah, that's a new one though.
Yeah, that is a new one. So now they warn you about everything. I am watching this push to remove the Speaker of the House, Speaker Johnson, who I think has done a really, 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 really bad. Wait, what did Hobbs say?
Again and again.
A really, really, really bad job. If you're into capitulating to the Democrats in the name of, I always love this, the Democrats, when the Republicans have the majority, say that you guys just aren't working with us. You're not bipartisan. You need to be. So if you like bipartisanship, when these so-called conservatives have control, majority, and you're like the Democrats say they should share that power, Johnson is your guy because he's really shared that power. I mean, he gave them the whole Ukraine thing, the $65 billion in funding, and plus there's money for a pipeline for refugees to come over to the U.S. and money to Taiwan, money to Israel, you name it. We drove down to Camp Verde today, by the way. The roads are an utter disaster. Mark Cowett drove over past Kingman to Havasu over the past weekend, and he said it was a bomb field, something about carpet bombing or, just absolutely horrible.
Awful.
So Johnson just didn't get anything for the U.S. border while he's trying to secure the Ukrainian border. Well, anyway, there's a motion to vacate the chair to, oust the Speaker of the House once again. Marjorie Taylor Greene has put it forward. Mm-hmm. And she had it in her pocket. I got really bad allergies I'm trying to fight through. She had it in her pocket. And she held it for the past few weeks, got some support, and she finally dropped it mm-hmm. and said, this is it. This whole thing that happened with the funding for Ukraine, that's enough. So I guess it's going to be heard next week.
Oh, okay.
So the possibility of vacating Speaker Johnson is probably going to come to the floor for a vote next week. It's not going to happen. I would say there's
almost... Because the Democrats are supporting him.
Yeah. I would say there's almost...
Yeah, the Democrats just, they keep telling him and whispering in his ear, little sweet nothings, and say, don't worry, we'll help you out.
You gotta love the Northern Arizona spring with the stuff, the pollen in the air, right? I'll never forget the time I listened to Rush Limbaugh and he had the fill-in host.
Yeah.
And the guy started coughing and coughed for like 10 minutes and he just kept talking through it. That was the guy with the British guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, it's not going to happen.
Right.
They're not going to be able to vacate him. And then who else is going to step up anyway? There's this, Hakeem Jeffries is the mm-hmm. Democrat. Mm-hmm. Could he become the Speaker of the House? I mean, at this point, you could probably peel off enough weak, just slimy Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives that Jeffries could feasibly, Democrat could become the Speaker of the House while there's a supposed very slim, I only got a few
but
seats
that would only
now,
be if
Republican
Johnson
majority.
Was ousted.
If he was ousted.
Which won't happen.
Yeah, the Democrats said they're going to save him, mm-hmm. Which is all you need to know because he's working with them. He's giving them what they want.
Yeah, what else could that mean? Yeah, there's really no other conclusion you could draw from that besides that
he's playing the game,
working.
Man. He's playing the game.
He's working it.
George Allen Kelly got off this week, and last week they hung trial. Mm-hmm. Seven jurors said, hey, nothing here. One juror was hanging on. I guess they slipped through the juror pool, right? Mm-hmm. And the processing. And then the county, Southern Arizona County, came out and said they're not going to retry it, right? I told you Mexico yesterday. I told you Mexico is displeased with that. And I was like, I'm displeased with that crap going on in Mexico.
Yeah, maybe secure your people a little better, and then you won't have that happen.
Mexico is they're now pushing a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Mexico, this is on Newsweek, Mexico to sue Arizona rancher accused of fatally shooting migrant. Mexico is working with the family of a migrant who was shot dead to sue the Arizona rancher accused of pulling the trigger. The rancher's attorney said the guy's 75 years old, mm-hmm. He says that it's cost... He had one of those give, send, go, whatever those, not to raise a bunch of money for all the legal bills he's had to endure from a prosecutor that had a bogus bunk case. They didn't even have a bullet, right? And, it's like maybe it's time to sue Biden for having the border wide open all the time and creating these situations. So, I guess Mexico now is working to sue, so I guess this would be the, it's kind of like, hey, we didn't get him on. The criminal side, so let's go after him. He claims he's, pretty much broke. It's cost millions of dollars. He's 75 years old.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Go back to work, a rancher down there.
Mexico,
see.
The government?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How can they do that?
I guess they're the Mexican government's continued involvement in this. There's, quotes about that. I don't know if they're putting up the money. I mean, obviously you need an attorney, so they hired some attorney. I don't know if Mexico's funding it on behalf of these people. We'll see the details as they come out. But this guy's just – it goes to show you that even if you go through the legal process, there's the next legal process mm-hmm. on this. And we've talked about this for years. We talked about it with Rob Wilson. If anytime you use a firearm, you may be 100% in the right, mm-hmm. but you got a couple years.
You have to defend yourself.
Yeah, you got a couple years and a lot mm-hmm. of money, so – I don't know. If you go out to Timberline, you talk to him. I think he knows about insurance and things like that.
Oh,
like insurance coverage for
really.
I think that exists. Hmm. Especially if you're open carrying or concealed carry.
Yeah,
I'll put that on my list to talk to him next time.
Yeah, I didn't know
he comes.
Get that.
He comes on the program. All right, that they're going to go out. You'll still hear about George Allen Kelly.
That poor guy
for quite a while. Yeah,
it's and especially after the whole we're not going to prosecute him again, and we're just going to let this thing go. And now to just have to be faced with that again.
All right, I give give up on my throat here. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got the interview I did with Congressman Eli Crane here just yesterday. It was during the first hour of the show. A lot of good info here. A lot of things going on there, of course, in Washington, D.C., including his push to defund these crazy leftist universities with all the insanity that's going on there.
Yeah, you know, it really is, Jeff. I'm not that surprised, unfortunately. I think many of our universities are cesspools for a lot of this radical ideology and have been for decades, quite honestly. I mean, it is very sad to see, and I know that a lot of it's fueled by hatred and ignorance. So, you know, it's pretty awful.
It is, and the really ridiculous part of this, if you think about it, is there's a lot of people paying an enormous amount of money to go to these universities. Then there's a lot of people going to these universities and they're getting their debt forgiven by the magic wand of Biden. So really, we're paying for this, Eli. We're paying for these people to do this crazy stuff. And it's spreading to universities in even in your district. ASU, U of A, and now NAU. I was talking to a police officer earlier today, said several people arrested at NAU setting up an encampment.
Yeah, no, this is national. This is a national problem. I find it embarrassing, quite frankly. I mean, I'm all for free speech, but you know, it's just embarrassing that so many of our young kids grow up thinking that this type of behavior is okay. It's okay to hate other people because of, you know, their beliefs or their religion. It's awful.
Do you think that the universities are waking up and not in the woke way that we're used to? We see them cracking down. I mean, it's all fun and games until someone gets a pallet thrown at them. I don't know if you saw that in California. Are they starting to take action, or is this just because I think the American people are frustrated and fed up with this, and this isn't like you and I probably disagreed with the Black Lives Matter stuff that was going on. I know I did, and I think you did too. This isn't that. They don't have that kind of support out there for this stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think some universities are starting to wake up a little bit. You know, I listen to Dan Bongino sometimes on the radio. And, you know, he talks about the country and says, you know, I guess we just haven't felt enough pain yet. And that's one of the things that you see happen all the time in life when your poor decisions cause you enough pain. Oftentimes it causes you to wise up. And that's what I'm really hoping that we're going to see here. I know it's not just on campuses, but we have professors and leaders in academia come up to the Hill all the time and talk to us about this issue. And, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, Congress is going to continue to look at and work on. But quite frankly, we have the same issues up here, Jeff. I'm never surprised at, you know, how many anti-Semitic members of Congress that we have up here.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And this is stuff that you could have imagined happening just a few short years ago. What's your bill, the defund hate-filled institution? I mean, what is this bill that you've introduced?
Yeah, it's no taxpayer funding for Ivy League schools. You know, basically a lot of these schools, Jeff, have huge endowments. This bill would cover schools that have endowments of $5 billion or more. So it's not just Ivy League schools. I think there's 17 or 18 other schools in addition to all the Ivy League schools. But basically, we don't want the taxpayers to have to pay, you know, billions of their hard-earned tax dollars to go to these schools that continue to promote these radical ideologies that we're seeing on the nightly news every single night.
Okay, and how much, I mean, they're getting funded. Why are they getting funded this much? I mean, when you look at an institution like Harvard, and was that the one that had the president that went before Congress and couldn't answer, you know, if it's what the kids were yelling was genocide or hate, or am I remembering this right? Because so many things happen all the time over the months. Was that the Harvard president?
It was the Harvard president, Jeff. And I mean, to answer your question, why are we giving money to a lot of the places we're giving money to? Why are we sending money overseas to, you know, millions and millions of dollars for other countries' border defense, but we won't take care of our own border and secure our own border? I mean, this is how out of control this place is constantly. And then if you come up here and you try and do something about it,
yeah,
and you don't get on the team, as they like to say, they try and get rid of you. And so this is why it's so important that we continue to send people up here that have a little bit of backbone and are willing to, you know, fight and try and pump the brakes on the fiscal irresponsibility that takes place on a daily basis in Washington.
No, I'll give you that, Eli. You have the backbone and a few of your colleagues, and you've become the target of people that don't like what you're doing. And we're seeing that here in our state. We need more people to stand up. It's very frustrating. The speaker situation, you want to chime in on that real quick? Because we had the Ukraine money, $65 billion more going over there. I know you voted against that. There's a threat for the speaker to be taken out again, but Democrats have signaled they're going to keep him on. That's a sign to me, Eli. That's a sign if all the Democrats are like, we'll support you. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's a huge sign. And, you know, Jeff, I think I was one of 14 people that didn't vote for that, the entirety of the foreign aid package. And, you know, we could get into it. There were many elements involved in it. But basically, it was the Senate foreign aid bill repackaged, and some gimmicks were thrown in there. But at the end of the day, you know, many of us, like many Americans, have problems with, you know, not taking care of our own citizens, you know, not taking care of our own security. And sending, you know, quite frankly, close to $100 billion overseas that we don't even have, Jeff, because remember, we're $35 trillion in debt. And so, again, that's the fiscal irresponsibility. And many of us tried to, you know, talk to the speaker, convince him every single way we possibly could that this was a bad idea. You know, but unfortunately, the speaker continues to listen to the wrong members of Congress and the wrong the wrong staffers, quite frankly, and continues on this path. And so, yes, he has put himself in jeopardy. There are a couple members of Congress that, you know, have sponsored and co-sponsored a motion to vacate. We're hearing today that that motion will be called up next week. So, I think it's going to put the speaker in a very tight spot. But like you said, Hakeem Jeffries put out yesterday that the Democrats will save him. And so, but I mean, that if you want any scorecard or report card on how well you're doing as the Republican Speaker of the House, you know, the American people see that the Democrats like what you're doing so much, they're going to save you. That's not a good place to be, Jeff.
Yeah, that says it all to me. So, okay, part of the Ukraine issue was we didn't get anything for border security here. We've spent the past couple of years talking about the lack of border security in our country. You got a couple things you want to try to do, which is restrict chain migration. For those that don't know what that is, if I can get that out, explain what's been going on with chain migration.
Yeah, so thank you, Jeff. We have a Nuclear Family Priority Act, and that's what this bill targets is, you know, outside of your nuclear family, if you come here, if you immigrate here legally, you're not allowed to bring, you know, 100 different members of your family, you know, your second cousin and the person she's married to. This would restrict the people that can come in to those folks that come here legally and go through the legal process to just their nuclear family. So that's one of the big drivers of, you know, that we're seeing right now as far as, you know, overpopulating and a bunch of folks coming here that, you know, probably shouldn't be here in the first place, but that's what this bill's all about. It's all about cutting back on chain migration.
Does anyone want to, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen this, restrict migration to where we want to, you know, what we need as far as a country? Like, we need more nurses, we need more, you name it, and actually have it based on what our country needs. I mean, we're a gracious country as far as taking people in, but we also seem to be taken advantage of. Has there been any talk of that?
Yeah, there has been, Jeff. I even pretty sure I heard the former President Donald Trump talking about this years ago. Unfortunately, you know, we had a saying in the military, you gotta crawl before you can walk. And before you can, after that, if you can walk and you want to run, you got to take these things in steps. And so right now we have a wide open southern border, as you know. We have a party that welcomes this, that is a champion for this. And so we're taking, you know, one step at a time. I would like to see more of a merit-based system myself, where, you know, you have to prove that you're going to come here and, you know, be a productive member of society. But like I said, before we run, we got to be able to crawl and then walk. So that's what this bill is all about. And then one of the other border security bills that we have right now, Jeff, is the Subterranean Border Act.
Okay.
And that just basically makes Homeland Security start reporting to Congress. You know, what's going on with the borders underneath our southern border. There's 140 that we've been briefed on. Many of these are very intricate, have quite a bit of infrastructure down there, like something you might see in Gaza, you know, with train, you know, rail car tracks and everything, lighting, etc. And this is obviously a massive problem that doesn't get reported on a lot, Jeff, just because of the situation at our border, how overwhelmed our agents are at the ports, in between the ports of entry. You got gotaways, fentanyl, you know, record numbers of people coming in. And it's easy to lose track of the fact that we have hundreds, you know, of tunnels underneath our southern border that can be used to transport not only narcotics, but weapons of mass destruction, and even, you know, individuals on the terror watch list into this country. And so this is a massive problem. Homeland Security needs to do a better job of actually reporting to Congress on what they're doing to stop this, and how they're using the resources that we give them on an annual basis to stop it. And so obviously oversight's a big part of what we do, Jeff, and we can't really conduct oversight if we're not getting reporting.
Yeah, but again, why didn't we get that with the Ukraine deal? You know, why didn't we get that stuff in there?
Because there's almost this, you know, sick perversion up here, you know, of sending money over to Ukraine. It's hard to even fathom or calculate, you know, what the you know, focus on Ukraine is. But it's a very real thing, as you guys have seen over the last couple of years, though we are seeing a growth in the resistance movement to stop sending money over to Ukraine and to make, you know, welcoming peace talks the priority, because that's what many of us want to see. We know that Ukraine is not going to win this war. We know we can't afford it. We know we're escalating with, you know, the world's greatest nuclear power. And, you know, we also know that Ukraine is very corrupt, and I talk about it every time I come on your show. And so it's awful that this body continues to send, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars overseas when we're not taking care of our own citizen first.
Speaking of taking care of our own citizens, and, you know, this is a big one. It's our veterans. You're a veteran, and I appreciate your service. I thank everyone out there who's listening and watching who's served this great country. And something we can do, and I wish we had $65 billion to put towards our veterans, supporting rural veterans, supporting veterans in general, but you've got a bill specifically to support rural veterans, which is a big part of your district, rural areas.
Yeah, this is we've got a couple bills. The Pleasant Valley Retreat, Veterans Retreat, is a bill that just passed out of the House. We're hoping it gets signed into law. But this is something we're proud of, Jeff. It'll be the first one in northern Arizona. But basically, and this isn't going to cost the taxpayers of this district any federal money, because it's basically we transferred land from the Forest Service to Gila County, and they're taking care of all of the entire build, and they're making this a retreat to where veterans who have spent time overseas, you know, can bring their families and, you know, recreate a little bit. And then we also have another one called the Hire Veterans Act, and this is trying to streamline the bureaucracy, you know, with the Forest Service and other government entities, so that veterans can come on board sooner and get hired. Because many of I'm sure your listeners and watchers know, Jeff, that there's the bureaucracy within the federal government is so much that oftentimes by the time a veteran applies to work for one of these departments like the Forest Service, until the time they get hired, it can be up to a year. And oftentimes, you know, they go find another job because it's taken them so long. And so these are a couple things that, you know, a couple pieces of legislation we're working on for vets. And I just got out of a veteran affairs hearing, Jeff, maybe an hour ago, where we're trying to stop the Democrats from, you know, making sure that every veteran who has a fiduciary helping them with their finances gets reported to the FBI and their, I think it's their, the NICS list, so that they can't buy firearms in the future. It's unbelievable.
It is.
It feels like we play whack-a-mole up here. Every 5 seconds, we're trying to stop our Democrat colleagues from, you know, taking away one more freedom, you know, from, you know, American citizens. And in this case, unfortunately, veterans. But this is what we deal with all day, every day up here.
They're always advancing. We're trying to just knock them back a little bit, but they always seem to be getting those couple steps ahead. All right, Congressman, I appreciate your support on these issues. I appreciate you sticking firm on the funding issues overseas. And we'll talk with you again, hopefully here in the next couple of weeks. Who knows what we'll be dealing with then. We'll talk with you soon, okay?
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Congressman. Take care. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Hey, I hope you have a great night. Remember to go to the website. I did some rearranging up there. Got some great interviews for you. Video with Carrie Lake, with Bruce Sidlinger talking about Boeing. Also, the full interview with Eli Crane. And then Senator Wendy Rogers. We spent about an hour together. So go to talkwithjeff.com for that. Be back tomorrow for the weekly roundup. Get you all caught up. Wrap up a busy week. Plus Mark Howitt in hour five of the show. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.